Growing Up, our brand new resource for churches and parents, is out now! Woohoo! With Sunday school sessions, training videos, podcast episodes for parents, and one for the whole family. All there to help our children navigate the confusion, filter the messages they're surrounded by, and hear God's good story. All our Growing Up resources point to the Heavenly Father who loves our children even more than we do and has the answer to their biggest questions about who they are and how to live. Together, as families and churches, we can support each other to start good conversations about bodies, gender, and marriage, so our children can grow up hearing God's good story. Head over to the website faithinkids.org and find out all the details about Growing Up.
Okay, ready? Hello, Faith in Kids world. It's great to be with you. It's our privilege to be where you are in your ears. We're here to bring you the good stuff, pushing Jesus Christ into the journeys, the holidays, and the bedtime routines.
We've been hearing about families who love to put the podcast on as their children drift off to sleep. I'm still working out if that's excellent or quite worrying.
Well, Jam, this might be the only bit they hear. If we wait 2 minutes until they're all asleep, we could say absolutely anything.
But for now, we can just say good night. Good night. Go to sleep. Actually, stay wide awake. Stay wide awake, because the next chunk of John's story of the first Easter is coming. It's a thriller. This is episode 2 of Easter Explained.
Today's episode is totally where it's at. John watches through the tears and the confusion and the what is going on. He watched and he listened carefully and scribbled it all down for you and me. What we're looking at today is eyewitness stuff, the good stuff, the real deal, what actually happened. Jam, as our expert analyst in the studio, what are you looking out for in today's story?
Well, Ed, sorry, I feel like a sports commentator.
I actually wanted you to do a special sports commentator voice, but I didn't know what that would be. But that is what I'm looking for here.
Well, Ed, I want to see what Jesus does for the big rescue. We've seen the big seven signs in John. We've watched him turn water into wine. We've watched him do the really big one, raise Lazarus from the dead. But now here comes one that's even bigger. It's like MasterChef, isn't it? The toughest challenge yet. What can top that? What's the finale?
Thank you, Jam. In this series, we're hearing Jesus explain Easter at four different places. Episode 1 was in the garden, and we got our heads around the imaginary cup. Jesus said he'd take ours if only we'd let him.
And that awful cup was full of God's right anger at all our wrong decisions, moments of meanness, and carefully planned horribleness. Horribility? Not sure. That cup full of anger at our sin that Jesus says he's going to take. But how will he do that?
Stay tuned. It's all happening in the next few minutes. Whip around question time. What is your greatest achievement? Where you're sat with your family, I want you to work out, is there a thing you've built? Is there a race you've won? Is there a hard task you completed? Is there a moment of fame that can't ever be taken away? Jam, what's your greatest achievement?
Easy one. You know, obviously I'd like to say I persuaded a woman called Melissa to marry me. I had 2 kids, but let's go back to when I was 13 and I scored 94 not out against Wycliffe. That was brilliant. One of the best days of my life.
Jam, were you seeing the ball like a beach ball?
Absolutely. Couldn't miss. Could have batted with my eyes closed.
That's terrific. Jam, every meal in our family, we eat off a kitchen table that I made. And sometimes when I get a bit sad or bored, I just stroke one of the legs and I think, I made this.
So have a chat about that. What's your greatest achievement? A thing you've built, a race you've won, a hard task you've completed? Have a chat in your families and go.
In today's story, Jesus says very, very little. But when he does speak, it's to tell us that he has finished his greatest achievement. But before we hear about it, Jam, it's time for...
That sound can mean only one thing, the fanfare of five fabulous fun facts. And today, our five facts are about the skull, thirst, vinegar, hyssop, and death.
Oh, Jam.
Here we go. Your skull, the bone in your head, is actually made up of 22 individual bones, and only one of those bones is movable. Which one would that be, Ed?
Okay, it's not tongue. A movable bone in your head. Ear?
You're using it right now, Ed, and I'm using it as I talk to you.
Tongue. Mouth. Jaw. Thank
jaw.
You.
Jaw. That's right. The jaw, or the mandible, as it's also called. Moving on. Thirst. In general, a person can survive for about 3 days without any water, but it gets pretty dicey after that. So you're not going to last much more than 3 days without a drop of water. Moving on. Vinegar is practically magic. It can be used for pickling and preserving food, for soothing sunburn and removing stains. It's a natural weed killer and insect repellent, and it's delicious on chips. Imagine weed killer, stain remover, or fabric softener on chips. I wouldn't like that, Ed. Would you like that?
Jam, the world can be divided into those who vinegar chips and those who do not. My mind is still blown. I'm a non-vinegarer.
What? Is this how it ends, Ed? I had no idea that you didn't do vinegar on chips. Anyway, moving on. Hyssop, comes up in the passage, is a herb from the mint family. And they grow to about half a metre long, and they give you a nice slim stick on which you can put things. The plant is known to attract beneficial insects like bees, butterflies and hummingbirds. But if you're combining hyssop and vinegar, I don't know what they're going to make of it, as they're attracted by the hyssop and repelled by the vinegar. Very confusing.
Jam, thank you for telling me about hyssop. If you've never even heard that word or said it out loud, well, first of all, just practice saying hyssop.
Hyssop.
There you go. Thank you.
It's fun
and
to
one,
say.
And one final fact, Jam.
It's about death. Hard to be fun about that, but here's one. There are currently 200 dead bodies somewhere on the Mount Everest that are too hard to get to or expensive to take down. And some are now used as location markers for people climbing the mountain.
Wow. So, Jam, you're saying, like, when you get to the red body, turn right. I mean, that's extraordinary.
There was one called Green Boots, which was known as that, where somebody had some green boots and that's where they are. So that's when it starts to get really dangerous.
So, kids, don't go up Mount Everest. It's really dangerous.
It's really dangerous. Really, really dangerous.
Well, with that cheery one, we're ending Jam's fanfare of five fabulous fun facts. All of these are in today's story. Just to be clear, there are no bodies on Everest in today's story. You'll see what I mean. See if you can spot a skull, a thirst, vinegar, hyssop and death in the story. They're all there.
Our reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, starting at verse 17.
Carrying his own cross, Jesus went out to a place called the Place of the Skull. In the Jewish language, this place is called Golgotha. And there, they nailed Jesus to the cross.
They also put two other men on crosses, one on each side of Jesus, with Jesus in the middle. After this, Jesus knew that everything had been done. To make the scripture come true, he said,
I am thirsty.
There was a jar full of vinegar there, so the soldiers soaked a sponge in it. Then they put the sponge on a branch of a hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' mouth. Jesus tasted the vinegar. Then he said,
It is finished.
He bowed his head and died.
Everything felt wrong that day. Jesus, God's own son, on a cross. Jesus, the finest human, treated like the worst criminal. Jesus, the best guy in the middle of two bad guys. It would have looked as out of place to John as a polar bear in a desert. A king belongs on a throne, not a cross. What has gone wrong? Was Jesus really supposed to be there? But when he did speak, you heard what he said?
It is finished.
When did you last say, I'm finished? At the moment, I'm building a shed. I'm 6 weeks in. I promise it's honestly not a mansion. It's just taking me a very long time. I've been out there in the dark. I've done it in the rain. I'm just trying to get it done. When I finish, all my neighbours are going to hear about it. I will shout, I've finished!
And I'm going to know about it as well, because you're going to send me a picture of it on WhatsApp, aren't you, Ed?
I'm going to make a video. There's something to celebrate when we say, I've finished. When John wrote his gospel, he tells us all about what he saw and heard, and he heard Jesus say, it is finished, just before he breathed his last breath and died.
Fun fact about John, John's gospel begins in the beginning, and this is the gospel in which Jesus says, it is finished. Isn't that cool?
That is why Jam is allowed in. Fun facts about John's gospel. What had Jesus finished? What was he doing? Is there anything to celebrate in Jesus's death? Last episode, in the garden, we heard Jesus say he had to drink the cup that the Father had given him. We learnt that whenever we do wrong, God is angry because these things are against him and they make a mess of our lives. We've all done wrong things. We've all put anger in the cup and we deserve to drink it. It's fair. But drinking the cup would be horrible. When Jesus says, it is finished, he's saying, I have drunk the cup. Perfect Jesus had spent every moment of his life delighting God. Jesus was in a place he didn't deserve to be, sorting out a problem he hadn't made. He was fixing the mess, drinking the cup, so that we don't have to. It's finished. All gone. None left. The cup is empty. Jesus has finished the work he came to do. To save you, to save me. Because Jesus took God's anger and sin's punishment, there's none left for me, and there's none left for you. That is why Easter Friday is Good Friday. For many of us, there can be a moment when we understand that Jesus died for us for the first time. I remember listening to Toby as he spoke at the front of church. He had grown up in a Christian home. He had heard this story every Easter. He knew what John had seen. This story was not new to Toby. But he remembered a moment when he realised that Jesus had not just died for Christians, but that Jesus had died for him. Jesus had died to drink Toby's cup, so Toby would never have to. Toby said that was the moment he realised what it meant for him to be a Christian. To be a Christian means to know that Jesus drank your cup in your place. So you could say to him in a prayer, sorry that I have done wrong things that filled up my imaginary cup. Thank you, Jesus, for drinking my cup of God's fair anger at my sin. Please help me to live with Jesus as my King every day. We can be forgiven. We can be free. We can say, it is finished. Please talk with your parents about this. Ask them your questions. Tell them what you understand. They will love talking to you about it. I'm going to pray now. Dear Father, thank you that Jesus said it is finished and Jesus never lies, so we can trust him. Thank you that he can take our cup so we don't have to. Please help us, Father, to think on these things, and by your Spirit, help us to know that Jesus can take our cup. Amen.
Amen. And now, Ed's got questions.
If you're under five, what happened to Jesus in today's story? If you're 5 to 7, what did Jesus say just before he died? Over 8s, what did Jesus mean by that? Over 11s, how would you explain the difference this makes to a Christian.
You can press pause and have a chat about that. But we're going to keep going, and we've got a sketch coming up. We have imagined what it would be like for one of Jesus' disciples to return home after this point in Jesus' ministry. She's been away for 3 years, travelling with Jesus. A lot has happened while she's been away. Have a listen.
Ah, welcome back.
Hello, neighbour.
You were away for a long time.
3 years.
Doing what?
Following Jesus.
And how did that go?
Pretty well until just now.
Why?
He just died.
How?
On a cross.
Oh, that's a bad end.
So that's that.
You think?
He let himself be arrested.
Odd.
He hardly said anything to explain himself.
Oh.
What did Jesus think he was doing?
I don't know. Well, you're the one who's been following him round.
Yes, but I don't know.
Anyway, I just popped round to say that about 2.5 years ago, someone came round saying that you owed them 30 shekels.
Oh, no.
Oh, you look worried.
Because I am.
Oh, it did seem really urgent.
Yeah, and I must owe him loads more now it's 2.5 years later.
You owe him nothing.
What?
I paid him.
When?
Oh, when he came round 2.5 years ago.
But you've saved me hundreds, thousands, millions.
I know.
I can't pay you back. I don't have millions or thousands or even hundreds.
I know.
Let me make it up to you.
No, no thanks.
Please, I'll clean your house.
It's clean.
I can wash your donkey.
I already have someone who does that.
I'll cook for you. Every day. For a year.
Can you cook?
Not really.
I thought not.
Well, what can I do?
Nothing. I've paid.
Well, there must be something.
Oh, go on. Just one thing.
What?
Say thank you.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, well. That's easy.
Good.
But that can't be it.
It is.
But it's so simple.
It doesn't sound like it.
Why do you say that?
Well, you haven't done it yet.
Haven't I?
No.
Oh.
So?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is that it?
That's it.
Wait, is that why Jesus died on the cross?
I don't think I understand.
He paid a price I could never pay.
How many people did you owe money to?
No, his wasn't about money. It was about what I had done and not done. And how I had treated God.
Well, my one was way simpler. I prefer money to death.
So we're all square?
Absolutely. It is finished.
Hmm. That's what he said.
Don't It Make You Wonder by Dumb Rocks. Get hold of that by going to a link in the show notes. Thank you for those of you who've emailed us, podcast@faithinkids.org. We're still catching up with lots we've had in the past. We've had a lovely one from Josie, Ada, Jude and Ezra and their mummy and daddy too. They love the podcast and the fun facts. And I hope you're enjoying the 5 fabulous fun facts.
We have had a great message from Phoebe, Sammy, Katie and Alex. They listened carefully because they thought Jam said that the ostrich is the fastest creature with 2 legs, which happens to be the peregrine falcon. But Jam actually was right. The ostrich is the fastest creature on 2 legs. So they have decided once and for all, Jam is never wrong.
I'm glad we've all come to this conclusion.
And they just want to do a quick shout out to Annie, Lottie and Eva in Kenya. Get in, Annie, Lottie and Eva. I hope you listen even from Kenya.
So we have listeners from all over the world. Why don't you get in touch and tell us where you are, where you listen? An awful lot of people seem to listen on their way to swimming. So if that's you, we'd also love to hear from you. Ed, how can people find out more about Easter resources?
We've produced these resources as free downloads. Easter Explained. So if you're looking for something for your church, then there they are for Sunday school. There's an all-age talk for Good Friday. There's an all-age talk for Easter Sunday. And there's even a bring all your mates and have the time of your lives for an Easter festival for families. Download them on our website at faithinkids.org. Just look out for Easter Explained. They fit these podcasts like a glove.
Brilliant. Two podcasts done and two to go. Looking forward to being with you next time. Until then, cheerio.
Bye-bye. If you're under five, what happened to Jesus in today's story? If you're 5 to 7, what did Jesus say just before he died? Over 8s, what did Jesus mean by that? Over 11s, how would you explain the difference this makes to a Christian?